We ask if one of the brothers will to read the passage for us.
Know ye not?
Don't you know
that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?
Read on.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Okay, you may stop there. In becoming Christian, there are some four or five conditions laid down by God for every prospective convert to obey. It was never left up to the church to determine how a man or a woman become a Christian. What was left up to the church is for the church to teach men and women what God has left here for us. It was never left up to angel to determine how a person become a Christian. In fact, let me just make sure that I am understood. The Almighty God doesn't have a plan where this church determines how you become a Christian in this church, and that church down there determines how you become a Christian in that church, and the one up there determines. God doesn't have a plan like that. God's plan is that every man, every woman becomes a Christian the very same way. Is it Philippians chapter 3, verse 6 or 16? Quick. Is it 6 or 16? Philippians. Walking by the same rule?
Nevertheless, where to?
Is it chapter 3, verse what?
Verse 16.
That's right. Nevertheless,
whereunto we have already attained.
We are already attained.
Let us walk by the same rule.
Let us walk by different rule.
Let us mind the same thing.
Let us mind different things. I am especially interested in walking by the same rule. That's God's business. And that's God's plan for us in almost every area of serving him, but especially in becoming a Christian. God doesn't have a plan where he saves us different way. We all are going to be saved Christ's way or not saved at all. So this is why God has these steps of salvation. You hear his word, eh? Every person must be taught. From hearing, you make the other step. You believe. From belief, you repent. From repent, you confess Christ's name. And from there, you are baptized into Christ. Now, look here now. All these conditions, they are set by Jesus Christ, and they are absolutely important. There is no way any man, woman, wanting to have a fellowship with the Almighty God can have that fellowship outside of these conditions. Here's another point. We are putting a lot of emphasis on evangelism, and the lesson that I had in mind following up another lesson I preached on the fruitless fig tree is a lesson taken from the book of Second Kings, I think, verse 7. But that great lesson will be coming up. But the point, ladies and gentlemen, without exception, every man, every woman must meet these conditions. And God didn't just impulsively come up with these ideas that you must be taught, you must hear. They all serve a purpose. Watch here. Why must we hear, Brother Mitchell? Why must we be taught? Because faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. So it's not a matter that you just hear. You must hear the right thing. When you hear something that is contrary to the word of God, even though what you hear might be religious, it won't help you. Did you hear the passage I quote from Romans? Is it chapter 10, verse 17? Or somewhere about there? Let us hear it.
So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Do you know that this is an important passage? Because this is telling us you don't hear just any old religious message out there or any religious teaching and feel that by following it, you will have saving faith. You have to hear the right thing. But at least this passage, the passage read Romans chapter 10 verse 17, is telling you why you must hear. You need something from God on which your faith or belief must rest. Faith, that is saving faith, true faith, genuine faith, must rest on the word of God. Hence, hearing. You must be taught, and you must be taught the truth. So that is the purpose of hearing God's word. Belief, faith, is what comes from hearing. You hear the truth, you believe it. Faith is what changes your attitude. Are you in the audience right now and you're not a child of God? Something needs to change your disposition toward Jesus Christ. The way you think about Christ. But Brother Mitchell, Mr. Mitchell, I think well of Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me. That's why I'm visiting your service today. Yes, you believe, but you do not believe enough. You see, your attitude, you must believe to the extent that belief move you to obedience. Let me run to the passage. Is it Acts of the Apostle? I know it's Acts of the Apostle. Is it chapter 8, verse 12? Or chapter 12, verse 8? So, but when they believe Philip, what?
Acts chapter 8.
8:12. Thank you, brother. But when they believe Philip,
preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized.
You get what I get? Notice what they did when they believed. They obeyed. Notice the passage again. But when they believe Philip preaching Notice, when they believe. In fact, the main statement in all of the words, you see, the main statement is when they believe, they were baptized. That's right. That's right. You'll see some come all over the place, but the main thing the inspired writer Luke wants to say to Philemon, to whom the letter was written, when they believed, they were baptized. When men and women believe genuinely, they are going to obey Jesus Christ. What I'm doing, you know, I'm just taking time off to show you what each step does. Hearing gives you the foundation of your faith. Belief changes your attitude and disposition. It's when you genuinely believe you want to turn your life over to Christ. And when some people, they'll come church on and off for umpteen years and months, and they do not become Christian, it's because their faith has not reached the point where it pushed them, drive them to become obedient. Repentance is required because that's where your conduct is changed. That's where your behavior is changed. That's why Jesus Christ requires repentance. It's where Jesus Christ said, if you believe, when you hear and you're convicted by the truth of God's word, you will believe. And that faith, that belief will drive you to change your conduct, your behavior. So that's what repentance does. It's like Christ is saying, you cannot come to me, you cannot form a relationship with me practicing sin. So you must turn your back on sin. The Bible also refers to that as being dead to sin. So when, that's what repentance is. Confession has to do with your allegiance. When you confess Jesus Christ's name, you are at least acknowledging your allegiance to Jesus Christ. And the purpose of baptism? Well, look here. The lesson is about baptism. We're going to point out that all these, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yes, I have to count them to make sure. All these 5 steps are important. They are must for every man and every woman. They are laid down by God. And if you're in the audience and you're interested in learning more about the steps of salvation, the condition that Jesus Christ said, I personally and other brothers and sisters here will be glad to meet with you and sit down with you, answer your question so that you understand these better. But they are conditions set by Jesus Christ. Now, may I? How many? 5. They are all laid down in the New Testament. But ladies and gentlemen, did you know that of all these 5 conditions to salvation, none of them has the multifunction quality as baptism? No. In this lesson today, I'm going to give between 10 to 12 things that are accomplished by God at baptism. Wait. What is striking is that these 10 to 12 beneficial things that takes place at baptism, they take place at none of the other step of salvation. Somebody didn't hear what I said. I said in this lesson I'm hoping to show some 10 to 12 beneficial things that God himself placed in our step to salvation, and that they take place not when you hear, not when you believe, not when you repent, not when you confess, but when you are baptized. And you know what? You know another thing? They take place simultaneously. That's right. That means you do not have to wait 1 day, 2 days, 5 days, a week, a month, or a year. You hear people talk about tarrying. The 10 to 12 things that we'll be looking at, you don't have to tarry for any of them. That's right. Baptism. You know, baptism has been knocked about. It is rejected. It is criticized. It is minimized. It is abused. But let me tell you, it is one of those multifunction steps of salvation. Here, let me drop this. I like to give a little brata in my preaching. And the brata, or at least one of the brata, is this, that you keep in mind, the importance and the significance and the weight of anything you or I read in the gospel of Christ, it does not take its importance, its significance, or its weight from us. You and I do not determine the awesomeness or the importance of anything the Bible teaches. It takes its importance because God requires it and places it as condition. That's how comes it is important. So whether you or I reject it or accept it, it is still awesome. And you see, if I reject it, or take away its importance, I'm only hurting myself. The thing still remains important if God requires it. Are we all there? And that's one of the things you and I must, as we get more involved in teaching God's word, that's one of the things in a humble, straightforward way you need to point out to the prospective convert. Miss Jane, the importance of what I'm saying to you does not come from you or me, whether we accept or reject. It comes from the Almighty God. People need to understand that. Baptism with its multipurposeness. Now, when you are baptized, all the things I'm about to mention, they take place simultaneously at the very same time. You're asking, how can so many things, how can 10, 11, 12 things take place at one time? You see, you're dealing with the Almighty God. In baptism, when you are baptized at that very moment, you got under the water, having been taught that Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, paid the price for your sin, and that he commanded that in order to be forgiven, you must believe and be baptized. When you submit yourself, when you become obedient to baptism, you are placing yourself under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's right. You want us to run to Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Ephesians chapter 5, 26. Let us hear them very quick. Let us hear them very quick.
Not by works.
Not by works.
Of righteousness.
Of righteousness.
Which we have done.
But which we have done.
But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
By the what?
And renewing of the Holy
by
Ghost.
By the washing. Why it used the word wash? It's referring to baptism. By the washing of regeneration. When was this done? In baptism. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing. Here again, washing. Of water by the word is when both baptism and the word work together to bring about your forgiveness. This takes place in baptism, that you get under the influence of Jesus's blood. We are going to look at something else which takes place at baptism. That it's not only that you get under the influence of Christ's blood. It is at baptism that you enter spiritually or symbolically Jesus' burial. Brother Mitchell, say that again. It is at baptism. And this is telling us that baptism could no way be a sprinkling. It is at baptism that you enter Jesus' death. Listen, the inspired writer in Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Wait. We have stated, or the Bible state, I have just pointed out that the passage that was read in Titus and Ephesians talks about the washing. It was referring to baptism. And I'm saying that what those passages are teaching is that the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from our sin, you get under its influence when you are baptized. But here is another passage that, remember, that Jesus's blood was shed in his death. Am I right? Yes. And that is what Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 is teaching. How you get into Jesus' death to benefit from his blood. Let us hear it.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
Wait. We are
buried with him.
Buried, notice, with. Are we all there? You see, this with is important. Because it is telling you there must be a concurrence. There must be a uniting. There must be a oneness between you, the prospective convert, and Jesus Christ in Jesus, is it? Therefore, we are buried with him.
By baptism.
By baptism.
Into death.
Into what?
Into death.
Into what?
Into death.
Somebody, brother, is asking, Brother Mitchell, who's dead? Christ dead. But when you get baptized, you are reliving spiritually that death. You are uniting with Jesus Christ In his death, it was in his death that his blood was shed. That's why in order to benefit from it, you have to get into his death spiritually or symbolically. Therefore, we are buried with Christ by baptism
into death.
Into death. Read on.
That like as Christ.
That is, that in the same way Jesus Christ
was raised up from the dead.
Was raised up from the dead.
By the glory of the Father.
By the glory of the Father.
Even so we.
We. We who? The Christian. The men and women who have become obedient to Christ's condition for salvation. And becoming obedient, including getting baptized, so that you can get into Christ's death and benefit from his blood. That was the second thing. I could ask you to read Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 38, but we can skip that. Repent and get baptized, Peter said to the people on the day of Pentecost. You get baptized for the remission. The word remission means removal of your sin. That's why we get baptized. Peter didn't explain then that in a symbolic or spiritual way, you get into Jesus' death. So that was the second thing. First, you get under the influence of Jesus' blood in baptism. Secondly, you get into Jesus' death at baptism. Thirdly, you are cleansed from your sin at baptism. Notice, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, when you hear, sit down and somebody teach you, you may get 10 years of teaching, and at the end of it, you are still there with all your past sin held against you by God. But Brother Mitchell, then, I believe what I heard. Yes, but all the past sin that you have committed are still held against you when you believe, because faith does not address sin. Wait. Faith only means that you are on your way. But it does not. Well, Brother Mitchell, now I know when I repent, I am forgiven. No, sir, all that repentance does, it says that you recognize that you have been sinning, living a life contrary to God's will, and that God is displeased in your life, and you are going to turn your life around. But when you turn your life around, what about all those past sins that you have committed? Let's say you are 30 years old. Let's say God start holding you responsible for your sin from you were 12 or 14. All those almost 20 years of sin are still held against you when you repent. That's right. All of it. Because the only thing that can address sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. You must get the blood applied to you. So it is at baptism that a man or a woman is truly and really cleansed from sin. Same Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Let us hear it.
But God be thanked.
But God be thanked.
That ye were the servants of sin.
That you were the servant. The word servant there means slave. Wait. When we are so tied to sin that we cannot let it go, God considers us slave to sin. Get a hold on Jesus Christ and he'll help you to overcome your sin. Read that again, brother.
But God be thanked.
God be thanked.
That ye were the servants
of sin. You were the servants of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you.
Wait. The but that you see in the passage represent a contrast. It is saying you have done something or something took place in your life. You are not the slave of sin anymore. Listen it again. But you are.
You have obeyed from the heart.
No, the whole of it. But
God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin.
You were the word servant, remember, means slave of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
And from the heart, they mean when you obeyed the gospel, you were sincere.
That form of doctrine.
And then it used the word form. And the form of doctrine. It means form of teaching. Brother Mitchell, what under God high heaven that is referring to? Well, I'll tell you what under God high heaven. You see, the form is referring to, he has already dealt with it in verse 3 and 4. That's the form. It means a mold. That when you pour something in it, the thing you pour in it comes out looking like the mold. Over the years, I used this beam above our head as an example. That for us to get this beam like that, we have to use board. Buy it from hardware and lumber and the carpenter and the contractor build it the exact size. As you see. And when you pour the concrete in it and the concrete dry, you remove the board and the concrete comes out looking like the boxing. That's the form. Listen, the form being stated in verse 4, verse 3 to 4.
17. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine.
No. Verse 3 to 4, Romans chapter 6.
Know ye not?
Don't you know? Paul is reminding them in reference to what they did to become children of God. Don't you remember, Christian at Rome, what you did? Here's what you did.
That so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ.
You were baptized into Jesus Christ.
Were baptized into his death.
That baptism represents, or says you get into Jesus' death.
Therefore, we are buried with him.
That baptism is a burial, just like Christ was buried. Wait, are you following me? You have a death, you have a burial. Read on.
By baptism into death.
Read on.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead.
So we also. Am I right, brother?
Even so.
Even so.
We also should
walk. That means we are going to go, resurrection. We are going to also be resurrection. But watch here. The resurrected, the we also, that resurrection stated there in verse 5 is not referring to the final resurrection. It's referring to when we are buried in the water of baptism and we come out of the water. We are becoming one with Jesus Christ to live the new life in Christ. That's what Paul in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18 refer to as the form. Brother Michele, can you say anything more? Yes, when you place yourself in Jesus' death, in Jesus' burial, In Christ's resurrection, you come out looking like Jesus Christ. Just like when we make the form and pour the concrete in it, when the concrete set, it comes out looking like the board form. But watch here now, the brother is not finished. With verse 17, 18. Quick, brother.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart.
You notice how important obedience is? Don't let anybody ever tell you are saved by faith only. Because that's falsehood. You see, we must not only believe, we must obey. The Bible talks about the obedience of faith. Read on, brother.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
We have obeyed from the heart.
That form of doctrine.
That form of doctrine.
Which was delivered to you.
Which was delivered to, Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? It's the truth about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that was preached to them, telling them that they must repent and get baptized. They did repent and get baptized. They got in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Remember what we are dealing with here. It is at baptism that you are cleansed from your past sin. And this passage, brother.
Being then made free from sin.
Wait. Being then.
Made free from sin.
Made. Is freed.
Free from sin.
Free, then made free. Made free from sin. May I? Then is introducing a time element. You ask the question, then when? When you obey. When you obey, not before. It is then that you are made free from sin. Don't ever miss that. So it is at baptism that a man or a woman is made free from sin. In fact, I usually state to men and women that this passage tells us exactly when we are saved. Because it tells us the exact time that we are freed from sin. One or two more points. Remember, there are some 10 to 12 points, all of which takes place at baptism. Every one of them. They don't wait a minute or 3 minutes or 5 minutes. They are simultaneous. So we get under the influence of Jesus' blood at baptism. We get or enter Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection at baptism. We are cleansed or our sin is removed at baptism. Fourthly, we enter into or we put Christ on at baptism. Wait, Brother Mitchell, I don't understand it. We cannot be saved outside of Jesus Christ. That's another point you need to keep in mind. That's why you see the term used so much in the New Testament, in Christ. Remember, in Christ is used in places not referring to the Christian. The term is used in other relationship with Christ or other things relating to Christ. But when it is used in reference to the Christian, it is telling us that you or I, no man can be saved outside of Jesus Christ. And the only act of obedience that places one in Christ, you are not put in Christ when you hear. You are not placed in Christ when you believe. You are not placed in Christ when you repent. You are not placed in Christ when you confess. You are put in Christ when you are baptized. In fact, baptism was designed for that purpose. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ.
No, we are not through with the pastor. Watch it. You see, Christian, again, as you teach, there is no passage in the Bible that's going to contradict this. Men and women are children of God when they are in Christ. One of the great things about this passage, it does not only tell us where we are Christian, but it tells us how to get in Christ. Verse 26 tells us where we are in Christ. Read it again, brother.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
That's verse 26.
Yes, brother.
Where are we Christian in Christ Jesus? Brother Mitchell, how does one get there? Do you know that's a sensible question? If that is running through your mind, how does one get in Christ? That is a good mental contemplation. But you know what? The Holy Spirit did not leave us to guess and wonder. Verse 27 tells you how to get in Christ. Let us hear it.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Everybody hear that? First, it tells us where we are Christian, in Christ, nowhere else. And brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, when you hear the word, that doesn't place you in Christ. When you believe, that does not place you in Christ. When you confess, when you repent, that does not place you in Christ. When you confess faith in Christ, it does not place you in the one act of obedience that placed men and women in Christ is baptism. What is striking too is that the very time you get in Christ is the very time you get into his body, his church. The very act of obedience that placed one in Christ, it is that same action of obedience that places one in the church. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13? For by one Spirit were we all baptized in one body. Let us hear it.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body?
You notice, what is the body? The church. The church. You notice the very same way you get into Christ is the very same way you get into his body, the church. Why is it so, Brother Mitchell? Because the church is the body of Christ. When you get into the church, you get into Christ. When you get into Christ, you get into the church. Baptism is that which places you there. Let me just we're going to end here. So far, we have looked at four conditions. Well, really, four things that are accomplished at baptism. And that they are accomplished simultaneously. They take place at the very same moment. Very important that we keep this in mind. One, we get under the influence of Jesus' blood at baptism. Two, we enter Jesus' death spiritually or symbolically at baptism. Three, we are cleansed or have had our sins, all our past sins, removed at baptism. Nothing else does that. And four, we enter into Jesus Christ, that's where salvation is, in Christ, at baptism. There are some 6 to 8 other things that take place at baptism. And one of the things to remember is that they are simultaneous. It's no tarrying or waiting for days and weeks. They all take place at the same time. That's the wondrous work of the Almighty God. Of all the acts of obedience, of all the conditions set by Jesus Christ for our salvation, it is at baptism that so much is accomplished by God for us. We don't even look at sanctification and glorification and all of that yet. But that will have to stay. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, it's important that you understand that God has conditions that he set for our salvation. They must be met by every man. Wait, these conditions were not made and set by angel. These conditions were made and set by God before the world was created. These conditions were not given to the church for the church to make them optional. Or give you and me choices. They are all imperative. Every condition set by Jesus Christ, like Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Today you can become a child of God. You can leave this place today as a Christian, cleansed, forgiven, a child of God. You will do so having heard enough of the gospel today to save you. If you will believe, that is manifest enough faith that will push you to become obedient to Christ, then you will also repent. Make a resolve that you are going to turn your back against all the ungodly, wrong, sinful thing you know to be doing. That is repentance. And then you will not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You'll be willing to confess his name. And you will submit yourself to baptism for the removal of your sin, to get in Jesus' death, to get under the influence of the blood of Christ, to have your sins removed. You can leave here today having done that.